begin by appreciating the name of the Lord for his goodness, for his mercy, for his compassion, for his faithfulness, for his provisions. It's not of him that wills, neither of him that runs, but of him that shows mercy. The Lord has been so merciful to you and to me. That's why we are in his presence this morning. Some slept last night, this morning they are no more. It has been by his mercy.
We give you all the glory.
Oh yes.
We give you all
honor. Appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of
Lords. We give you all the glory. We give you honor, honor. We give you all the glory, Jesus. We give you honor. We give you all. Give you all the glory.
We give you all.
We give you all the glory.
We give you all.
Give thanks. And so our Heavenly Father, we thank you. If we begin to appreciate you from now to tomorrow, it will not be adequate in comparison to your goodness and faithfulness upon our lives. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for sound mind. We thank you for sound health. We thank you for your mercy that has brought us this far. From the beginning of this year up to this moment, many have gone. It is by your mercy, not because of our faithfulness, not because of our righteousness, not because of any acts of goodness, but because of your mercy. And we have come to acknowledge your mercy upon our lives. Father, accept our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Our children are gathered this morning all over the world to worship you. because that is what you have called us to do. Ancient of Days, we pray that you will manifest your presence in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. Our brethren that are still on their way coming, Lord, we pray that you hasten their footsteps and guide them safely to this, to your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray. We are here to celebrate your resurrection, Lord. Father, if there be any aspect of our lives that is still not alive, in the course of this worship, Lord, may we experience your resurrection power in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be a divine encounter in our life in the name of Jesus Christ. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, Lord. You said you have not called the house of Jacob to seek you in vain. Your children are here with high expectations. Some are believing you for healing, for transformation, for revival, for salvation, for repentance, for upliftment. Whatsoever the needs of your children will be this morning, Lord, we pray that will be before we end this service, you will grant our desires in the name of Jesus Christ. Abba, Father, we pray, O Lord, that everything we shall do in your presence today, Lord, we pray that you bless it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come and take preeminence in our worship, in our offering, in our tithe, in everything we shall do. Come and glorify your name. For in Jesus' most powerful name we pray. Can we hear a believing amen? Put your hands together for the Lord. You may be seated. Once again, you are welcome to this glorious service of the Lord. And as you have come today, may the Lord meet you at the point of your need in the name of Jesus Christ. We cannot stop appreciating the Lord for what he has started, the revival that the Lord has brought into our midst. There is a revival in all aspects of our life, our prayer life, our spiritual life. The Lord is moving mightily in our midst. May you be a partaker of that revival in the name of Jesus Christ. So without wasting much time, we want to continue the study we started last week. We started a study last week. Can somebody in the congregation remind us the topic we started? Let somebody in the congregation tell us what we learned. By God's grace, we intend to conclude that topic this morning. Is there no mic? Who can remind us the topic of our study?
Intimacy with God.
God bless you. God bless you. Intimacy with God. And intimacy is not, it sounds very big, but it's just deep fellowship with God. Deep fellowship with God. A deep relationship with God. So we've started it last week. We've done the introduction that the Almighty God, the essence of his creation, particularly the man, is to have intimate, deep fellowship with him. I was one of his reasons for creating him. And we talk about how that fellowship began. It was very strong. Adam and Eve were enjoying it until sin came and destroyed that intimacy. And from that day, even before that intimacy was scattered, God has made a provision for the restoration of that intimacy. And we said that intimacy began with Abraham, and we look at how the Lord, the Almighty God, dealt with them, his relationship with him in the Old Testament. It started the restoration with Abraham, and we look at the Old Testament and also look at how the restoration process is. We looked at this last week, how God began the process of restoration through Jesus, but he began it with Abraham. And we look at the Israelites and how Moses was speaking, hearing from God and giving instruction to the children of God. And we say that arrangement was not really the perfect will of God. God has always desired to have intimate relationship with his children. And that was why the law, the Old Testament, was annulled and it began the New Testament. And when Christianity began, it was a very deep fellowship with God. And we look at the attacks on Christianity to remove the intimacy. Intimacy is so important in our relationship with God. God himself yearns for it. God desires it, and it's our relationship with him, it is when it is intimate that we can enjoy the fullness of God. Now, so the enemies, the devil, also make every attempt to remove intimacy, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. When Christianity began, let's move back. I want to make a comment concerning this. We look at the attacks on Christianity, how when Christianity began, there was a revival, there is deep intimacy, until the devil began again. Let's continue. I want to make a comment concerning these attacks. You know, Revelation chapter 17, talk about the mystery Babylon. And we know we've been established who the mystery Babylon is, how he married Christianity with the world, and the intimacy was removed. That slide before now, take it back. IT, attacks on Christianity. That's why I stopped last week. Take it back. The attacks on Christianity to remove intimacy. IT. Okay. Now, we said the mystery Babylon, we know who the mystery Babylon is. The mystery, the great. And our daughters. Our daughters are the denominations. The Roman Catholic Church, the mystery, the great. How he married Christianity with the world, and all manner of things were introduced. All the praying through mediums to the dead saints. There are attempts to remove the intimate relationship with God. To remove intimate relationship with God. And the denominations too. The arrangements, denominations, which are the daughters of the mystery Babylon, the allot. The denominations also, the setting also removes intimacy. How? By lifting up a man, and through that man is the only one that hears from God and begins to pass instruction. Is there another way of relating to God like the Old Testament? A man is lifted up, projected, and almost deified. Now, God attempt to restore relationship, intimate relationship with him. The end time message came to bring us out, come out among them, from among them. That is the end time message. Now, when the end time message came to pull out of the various denominations, we responded to the shout. But the followers, too, they have also denominated the message by projecting the leader as the absolute, the only one that hears, that manifests all the gifts. Are we together? So that intimate relationship too was also removed through turning the end time message into denominations. But nobody can defeat the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. Nobody, the restoration that God desired to have of restoring intimate relationship with himself, nobody can stop it. When the end time message also was denominated, God raised the ministry that we are in now. God raised this ministry we are in. Hope you know that the Bride Assembly Church is not a denomination. Am I speaking to somebody? And in case you don't know, I can give you 10 reasons why you clearly know that where you are is not a denomination. Denomination removed intimate relationship of God's children with their father. And that was why end time message came. And the end time message too is also denominated. God began another move. This is not a denomination. It's a move of God. But how will you know? Like I said, I can give you 10 reasons where you know where you are. It is not another denomination. But for the purpose of this teaching, out of the 10, I will give you 2. Now pay attention so that we will know the essence of this teaching we are taking. That is God having you in mind. That is why he's giving us this teaching, this study, to benefit something. I said, I will give you 2. One, number one, how you will know that where you are is not a denomination. I don't know any leader or the so-called GO of any denomination that will stand at the pulpit and tell his congregation that the grace upon my life manifesting in notable miracles, in healings, prophetic discernment, notable miracles, cancer will go, HIV status will change, as in clearly seeing miracles, and the GO sort of will tell his congregation that that grace I am operating, that you members, the people sitting, that you have the grace much more. Can you tell me one? Can you tell me one? It is not about the overseer trying to be humble. It is God himself letting you know that it is a move of God to restore intimate relationship. By the time a leader is telling you you have the grace, do you know the effect? Do you know the effect? It's for you to begin to develop the grace of God in your life, which comes through intimate relationship. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He said the grace, because the Bible says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led, they are what? They are the sons and daughters of God. Now, except you are in an atmosphere and you are being told that you are hearing things of that, you will never see yourself as a son of God, a daughter of God, who God has invested so much in to hear from him, to be used of God for your generation. Praise the Lord. That is number one. Hearing that, we achieve you going back to the law, communicating with him. Now, through that process, you'll be hearing and he will be leading you. That is number one. Number two, almost all denominations teach the members that the evidence that you have Holy Ghost is what? Is what? Here. Here. What is the evidence? The evidence that you are born again, that you have the Holy Ghost in you. But the evidence that you must have at least one of the 9 or 12 spiritual gifts, and one of them that every born again Christian must operate is what? The gift of what? Give out the mic so that they can hear. This mic is not even loud. Let us hear. Please, I want you to follow me. What is the gift that every born again child of God must operate?
Word of knowledge.
The gift of the word of knowledge. And here you are well taught. You are well taught, tutored, that this gift, it comes in 4 channels. You operate it in 4 channels. Number one, so that people can know that you have been well tutored. So that you can know where you are. You are not in another denomination. Who can tell all the 4 areas where this you can operate this, the gift of the word of knowledge?
True dreams. True visions.
Give it to another person. Give it to a brother. True dreams, true visions. Give it to a brother so that it will not be as his only sister that are being taught in this ministry.
It comes like a thought.
Inspiration, thought. Good. The third one. Give it to another brother.
Inspiration.
That is what he said. Another person. Audible voice, God bless you. Dreams, visions, inspiration, and audible voice. Do you know, if you know this, that God speaks to you as his father, as your father, that you are his son and your daughter, that I speak to you, what this thing will develop in you is, it will project in you to go and be praying. And as you are praying, you have been taught that God communication is not complete except there is what? There is a reply. When you talk to him, he talks back to you. And he talks back to you through these various channels. Brother, sisters, this is how this intimacy develops. But if you are in an atmosphere whereby you are not taught this, I'm telling you, you will remain a baby Christian. You will never grow to be a son and daughter. And when you don't grow to be a son and daughter, there can never be any intimacy. Intimacy, I mean deep fellowship with your heavenly father. What was still operating in the Old Testament, whereby they will hear, Moses will hear, and will be passing instruction, is still the same thing. And there can never be any deep fellowship which God yearns for. And it is important that you have this fellowship to be able to enjoy your Christian life. This mic. Praise the Lord. I think this is better. Praise the Lord. Are we following? Are we following? Now, coming to this place, it is a restoration move of God. It is not another denomination. It is a move, a program of God to restore intimacy, to restore deep fellowship with his children. It is in this deep fellowship you will be that when you are in serious deep fellowship, intimacy with him, that he is soon coming. You must be in this serious intimacy with him before the rapture takes place. You can't be far away from your heavenly father and expect that you can be in the rapture. Deep fellowship must occur. And that is the process. They have, the entire message has been denominated. It is a move. That is why when you are here now, you should not see us. I told you, I can give you 10. But for this purpose, the Lord will make you to understand these two I've told you. So that you'll be able to return to your altar, your place where you begin to commune. God is doing something in your day to restore intimacy. We have been far away from him. So God has brought you into an atmosphere whereby God can rekindle that fellowship with you. May you not miss it in the name of Jesus Christ. I think. So that is it. Process of restoration. God has begun it. He's using this ministry to restore that fellowship. Now, we have levels of intimacy. What do I mean? The level, our closeness with God differs. Praise the Lord. The degree of intimacy enjoyed by whoever comes to the Lord is entirely determined by the person. Somebody that is close, very close to me now, what you will know about me, what you will hear from me, will be different from somebody who is very far. The extent to which somebody that is close to me will know me will be different from the person that is far. And the point is this, it is not God that determines your closeness. It is your entire responsibility. God is ever present, but for you, how close you are is your choice. That is the point. Thank you. How close you are to him is your choice. That is the essence of what we want to learn now, the level of intimacy. Because we have four levels in the Old Testament. We also have four levels in the New Testament. I need to bring this here so that you will know. So that whether you are the outer or the third circle or the second circle or the inner. And it is only those that are in the inner circle that enjoy the most of God. May you be in the inner circle in the name of Jesus Christ. So, because for the purpose of teaching, I want us to take the points. You will write the points more. I will only do little explanation. Now, in the Old Testament, it is Moses and the nation of Israel's experience with God. On several occasions, God summoned Moses to ascend the Mount Sinai to have fellowship with him. On one of the occasions, the people were associated with him. A study of the circumstances revealed that there are four levels of intimacy. What do we mean? Studying that they are about to ascend, God called them for Moses to come to Mount Sinai to have fellowship, and his people must come with him. Now, for them to be able to come up, studying their circumstances, we're able to see four levels of deep fellowship. Number one, the outer circle. As we can see in Exodus, just write it down. Exodus chapter 19, verse 11 chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. Let's read it. This God has told Moses, and he was passing it. Be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of the people upon Mount Sinai. Verse. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people around about, saying, take heed to yourself, that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the man shall be surely put to death. The people were at the bottom, the mountain. They must not come near. They were outside. There was a restriction. They must not even touch. If you touch, you are dead. Those are the people at the outer circle. Those who are now, they could not experience God much because they were far. Another circle. The second circle. This is the outer circle. The old Israelite. Only Moses was able to ascend the mount. The third circle. Okay, the second circle. It had Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. They went beyond the barrier. In these circumstances, these 74 people, including Moses, they were able to pass beyond that first barrier, but they could not get to the top. Can you see? What these people will know about God will be totally different. They will experience God much more than the people at the outer part, the down part that could not ascend more. Are we learning? The next circle, Exodus 24, verse 13 and 14. If we're reading all this scripture, we may not finish this teaching. So just take it down. The third circle had only Moses and Joshua. Even Aaron, that is assistant at this point, was not in that circle. That is why that statement I made, it is your choice. It is not God that determines how close you are to him. Your closeness to God, it is your entire responsibility, not anyone. This one only had, if you read that Exodus 24, 30 to 14, you will see, they told Aaron and Noah to stay with them, while only Moses, if you read it, only Moses and Joshua were able to get beyond the level they were at. And at this point, they did not get to the top of the mount, but they have passed a certain boundary. Are we together? Then the third circle. Okay. Yeah, we have taken the third circle. Only Joshua and Moses were able to go beyond the level they were before. Then the inner circle now. And this inner circle is where every born-again child of God must press toward to get in. But it is in the inner circle you can see the glory of God. It is in the inner circle you must be to be able to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. You can read that in Exodus 24, verse 15 to 18. It had only Moses. The people in the outer circle saw only the consuming fire. They were only seeing consuming fire. But inside that fire, what did Moses see? He saw the glory of God. And why was he able? Because it was inside. I hope you are learning something. If you are far, what you see of God will be different from what somebody who is close to him will be seeing. They were seeing consuming fire, but Moses in the inner circle was seeing the glory of God and see how his life, see how he was able to walk with God and see what happened to them. Because they were not close, they did not know the way of God. Because they were not close, they did not even know the difference between consuming fire and the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Four levels of intimacy. The deep fellowship, it varies. In the New Testament, let's please see another four circles of intimacy in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples, the relationship that they had too, when we study it, we see another four levels of intimacy with him. And this level of intimacy, it is not the Lord Jesus that determines it. It is the choice of the disciples. The first circle, which we call the outer circle, outside, it had the 70 disciples. When he had been preaching, out of the people that had been listening to him, he called 70 and he gave them power to go. We can see that in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. He called the 70. He had a relationship with them. But I want to tell you, the relationship that he had with these 70, the fellowship he had with them is different from the one he had with the 12. The 12 disciples, which we see, we classify as the second circle, which you can see in Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 14, and Mark chapter 3. Just write it down. How will you even know that the level of relationship they are differ? It's when you go and read John chapter 6, verse 50, when the Lord Jesus, when he began to tell them that, except you eat my bread, okay, this is the bread, let's read. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Let's read on. And I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no flesh in you. Verse 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Read on. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Read on. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came in. The next verse. This thing said he in the synagogue as he taught. Read on. Many therefore of his, okay, this is where I'm going. Many, including the 70 now. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Next verse. When Jesus knew in his head that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth. Now read the next one. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Let's read up. That no man, the next verse. From that time, many of his disciples. What happened to them? This included the 70. Went back. The next verse. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Can you see the different level of fellowship? Can you see the different level? Unto the 12, the 70, many of them have gone. Will you also go away? Look at the response. To tell you that the fellowship. Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou art the word of eternal life. If you don't catch anything here now, you won't take this teaching serious. For you to know that your relationship, your fellowship with him, and the fellowship of another one differs. Your closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ is determined by you, not him. The next circle. Even from the 12, there is another There is another circle. Who are they? The three disciples. And we saw in about three or four different places whereby he will take them, these three people, instead of the 12. As we see, that is the third circle. In Luke 8:51, when he went to raise the Jairus' daughter, how many of them were there? Who are they? Who are they? Peter, James, and John. Why were the 17 not there? Why were the 12 not there? Different levels of fellowship. And it is, I keep, because that is the essence of this study. The main reason, it is not the law that determines it. It is you. Praise the Lord. Now, if you, Matthew 17:1, month of transfiguration. How many of them were there? These three. Month of Gethsemane. How many of them were there? These three. Those are the three scriptures. So you can take time and study it. And the main point we are focusing is that the fellowship, because we are in an age whereby we compare ourselves too much, you will be using the Christian life of one person to be judging your, not knowing that God relates with us based on how we relate with him. Praise the Lord. The last, the inner, somebody said inner circle. Among these three, there is still one that has this special. And they call him, you know, Jesus loved. They would say, the one whom Jesus loved. John 13, verse 23. Even when they wanted to know the person that will betray Jesus, do you know among the 12, they did not know. Among the three, except even they were asking, ask that one that he loves. And that is what, among the three, this one that occupies his special heart. Who is he? Who is he? Somebody might be thinking, God, Jesus has a special love for him. No. The Son of Man has no favorite. He has no favorite. He's not a respecter of anybody. It is how you come to him. For Jesus to love John the beloved, it shows that among all of them, he is the one that loves most. He loves them all. But for him to occupy that special position, that if they want to find out anything from him, he will be the one. It simply means he is the one. If you go and read John 19:26, you will find out that among all the disciples, he was the only one there. If you study. So, levels of intimacy. Levels of different fellowship, deep fellowship with God. It varies. The point, the emphasis in showing you the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we have seen this first echo, is for you to know that we are at various levels of deep fellowship with God. And where you are the one, where you are today to God, you are the one that shows it for yourself. And this teaching is to let you know this and to admonish and encourage you that you should do everything to be in the inner circle. Praise the Lord. Do everything to be what? In the inner circle. Because it is in the inner circle you find so much fulfillment. It is in the inner circle you carry God's glory. It is. We will look at the blessings attached to having strong, deep fellowship with God, which I describe as intimacy. Having said that, I want to look at the individuals in the Bible who had intimacy with God. Why did I bring these characters? So that we will look at what defined them. We look at what these people, what characterized their life, so that we that desire to have deep fellowship with the Lord, we can imbibe these characteristics and we will enjoy strong, intimate fellowship with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we learning? Now, look at them. Please just take your time, write it down. These are people, by my own study, they enjoy deep fellowship, which I describe as intimacy with God. And what characterized their life? Abraham, if you look at Genesis 18, 17, let's just pick, we won't be picking all the verses so that we can conclude this study today. Look at what the statement God made concerning Abraham. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Can you tell this person, can this statement be made concerning somebody who is far from God? He said, can I hide anything? By this statement, you will know that this one is in deep fellowship with him. What of verse 22, chapter 22, verse 5? Let's speak it very fast. What was to be? Because as a child of God, God should not be able to hide anything from you, particularly things happening in your family, even in your generation. And Abraham said unto this, abide ye here. Okay, this is when he was going to worship. From that, this verse now, we will pick worship. It's from this verse, we'll pick anyone who is having deep fellowship with God, who is having a walk with Almighty God. One of the things that we characterize his life or our life is what? Worship. Look at it. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with us, and I and the light will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Let's go to verse 13. Verse 13 of that verse. The fear. Okay. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That is verse 13. And God said, Abraham, I have known that you fear me. Anyone who is in deep fellowship, one of the things that will characterize his life is he will have a fear of God. If God instructs him to do anything, he doesn't delay. Another character from the Bible we can pick is Joseph. I pick this character because if you look at when somebody is having deep fellowship with the Lord, one of the things that you see is that the presence of God will be around him. If people around him, we know that the presence of God is so much on him. That is what Potiphar said to Joseph. Let's take that Genesis chapter 39, verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. The presence of God will be around anyone who is having intimacy with God. It's okay, verse 9. We read verse 9. This when the wife of his master wanted, let's take verse 9 of that chapter, wanted to sleep with him. The main reason why he flew, look at it. Anyone who is not having fellowship cannot escape this. Say, there is no greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How dare it? See the sin, the temptation before him. He knew that if he should fall into that temptation, he was not sinning against. He said his wickedness against his God. This is coming out as somebody having a fear of God. Are we together? So, I want you to take note of this so that, this man of God is having a close walk with God. He's having deep fellowship. You will know what to check for. Despite it might be manifesting anointing, healing the sick, notable signs and wonders, but if he can be confronted with this temptation and yet, he is not able to overcome, and it's happening not by mistake, it's happening repeatedly, you should know that person is not in deep fellowship with the Lord. You see Moses that God speak with, he speak to him by what? Mouth to mouth. That can only be possible with what? Deep fellowship. Strong relationship, which we call intimacy. Praise the Lord. If you study it, you see David, that God described as a man after my own heart. That statement alone is what if you study the life of David, you will know he had intimate relationship with the Lord. See, Esther, absolute trust when he was faced with the death sentence. He did not seek salvation in any other, but trusted in the name of the Lord, and the Lord came down. You see, Anna, when he was confronted with that challenge, that trial of faith, he didn't run to any other God. She went to the living God, and she got answer. What of Daniel? His Daniel fellowship is one of the Bible characters that I emulate. His fellowship with the Lord, I covet it. 3 times in a day, he will make sure he was communicating with his God. Even when there was a ban, even when he was resisted, he honored his God more than any other thing. He defied that ban and he still went to pray. Study his life, you will know that this had strong intimacy and you can emulate him. What of Paul? Oh, Paul is one of my role models. He's one of the people I love. Despite the abundance of revelation, look at the body in his heart. Philippians 3:10. Said that what? That I may know him. Somebody who asked, who wrote the most part of the New Testament? He said, despite the abundance of revelation, is he seeking? That is he seeking to know more of God? It is somebody we know, he had strong intimacy, deep fellowship. So from these Bible characters, I was able to bring about 10 characteristics which I want every believer that wants to have deep fellowship with God to look at. If anybody is claiming that he's enjoying fellowship, strong intimacy with God, things you check in his life are these. There may be more. I want you to write it down. These are the things, having studied those 8 Bible characters, these are the things that define their life. When you see them, these are the things that you see. Number one, they are ardent seeker of God, consistently seeking God. They are not tired. Come rain, come shine. They are pursuing the presence of God. What did he say? He said, I am glad. If you are sleeping under this atmosphere when we are discussing intimacy, it is an evidence that you have no fellowship with God. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read Psalm 42, verse 1. Anybody who is having a walk with God, who is in deep fellowship, say, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after the Lord. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before? This is, if you see him, somebody who is having that intimacy, this is what you see. Everything about him is seeking God. He's never tired. That is what you saw in Apostle Paul. He said that I may know him. They never had enough of God. The more of God they know, the more they pursue. They want to know God. Study that scripture, Jeremiah 23, 29 verse 13. Study it on your own. You shall seek. Okay, just take study at home. If we take this scripture, we might not end this teaching today. But the point, as we run up, we will see, I believe you will be able to see the answers of the teaching. Ardent seeker, consistently seeking, whether they are tired or not. They are not even tired of seeking him. Whether they are in sickness or they are in health, they are pursuing God. They want to know God. That is what characterized the life of David. Look at his life. Is it Moses? Is it Abraham? Is it Apostle Paul? Or is it Daniel? They are always pursuing God. Another thing you see in their life is what? Love and devotion. They love God to a fault. No matter what is happening, they love God, no matter the situation around them, They are after the things of God. And they believe that commandment, Mark 12:30, you see it clearly fulfilled in their life. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. They have no reservation. And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, this is the first commandment. Everything about them. And this and devotion. This devotion, they demonstrate it in four ways. Their devotion, when you see them, you see that they are praying. Please take note of this. What you see defining their life in their devotion, prayers. Not periodically, not occasionally. Within a week, maybe they are fasting 3 times or 4 times. They fast regularly. People that are ardent seeker, that are having a walk, strong intimacy, they are fasting. That is how their devotion to God is demonstrated. They are fasting, they are praying. And what else? They are studying the word of God. Anyone you see that says is having a relationship with deep fellowship and is not studying, it's fake. Before you know it, that thing that you see around him like fire will soon go down. He will study. And another one, number four, that defines his devotion is service. Service is serving the Lord. Any gift that God has given to him every day is using that gift in the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord. Are we together? So you, as you are seeing it, be checking your life, whether these things are seen in your life, so that you, because teaching is to let us see our weakness and see how we can be strong. Praise the Lord. What is it? Worship and adoration. They love to worship God. At least you saw in Abraham, when he wanted to go and sacrifice, he only said, what did he say? I want to go and what? Worship. You see, David, everyone who is having that intimacy, what characterizes their life is worship. They love to worship. You see them on the road, not only when they come to church, even at home, you see them singing. You see that, read that scripture, you can take it by yourself, Ephesians 5:19, singing psalm, anywhere on the road, even in their marketplace, you will see them, you see that they call them Mommy G-O or S-U, or they give them names because they are too preoccupied with the worship of their God. What is happening around them, they don't care. They are consumed in their worship of their God, irregardless of what is happening around them. Faith and trust, number four. Faith. They have faith in God. They have faith in God. It's the one that moved the mountain now. Where would they even go? That is what you see in Hebrew. They believe that God is a rewarder of them that are diligent. So they don't trust in chariot, they don't trust in horses. That's what you see in Anna, you see in Esther. When there is anything, they have faith in God. Faith in God. You see it. Watch those characters that I brought out. You will see faith evidently manifested in their relationship with their God. Obedience. Obedience. If you see any man or any woman that says is having a walk with God or is in deep fellowship, and yet he disobeys God, he's a blatant liar. He's a liar. Why is he disobeys God? It could be in his commandments. Disobeys him, falls into all manners of temptation. God has said, thou shalt not do it. It is that one. That does not mean you can occasionally, just like the life of David, accidentally you can fall. But before you know it, they are quick to go for repentance. They are quick to go for repentance. They don't justify their iniquities. They don't. That is different between Saul and David. They are quick to repent. They obey God. That is what we see. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That is one of the characteristics of somebody who is having deep fellowship, who is in the inner circle of fellowship with God. Another characteristic you see is what? The knowledge. They know God. How do you want to do it? It's through those study, because you must engage in study. And as you study him, he reveals himself more and more to you And the knowledge of God you have gives you strength. Even as the saying goes, knowledge is power. As you study God, he reveals himself unto you, you have the strength. Daniel 11:32 said, those that know their God, they shall be what? Strong. As you continue to devote yourself in worship, in study, God reveals himself unto you, and it produces strength in you. How much of God that you carry is a function of what you know about him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The day I got to know from the word of God that Jesus is my ransom, that day, any shrine I see, any altar I see, I like to go there as a way I can scatter it. I traveled December last seminary. I got to the place, I saw shrine, and I wanted to spend two weeks. I said, a son of God has come to stay for 2 weeks. During these 2 weeks, I want to spend, if I hear, bang, every shrine in this area will catch fire. If you dare have any meeting around, then there will be obituary. For the 2 weeks I spent, because I caught the revelation from the study of the world. Study. Study. Your study will produce knowledge. There's a knowledge of God you have that makes you anywhere you are. It's not pride. You are just you feel bold. Nothing is happening. Praise the Lord. So knowledge. Said, forget anointing. No, it may be anointed yet. Without the knowledge, it is when they are jammed or they are confronted with situation, you will know how much of God they carry. Praise God. Then the fear of God. I think we have seen this. Fear of God. Those who are having this intimacy, they fear God. They don't want to offend God. They reverence him. They tremble at his word. God has said it. They tremble. Because the more of God you know, you bow. The knowledge of God you have will produce humility. It will produce reverence in you. We see any man of God or any woman of God that is still proud, he has not encountered God. He's only having anointing. He only has anointing. And anointing or gift is different from what we are talking about. We are talking about deep fellowship that makes you to carry the presence of God wherever you are going. I pray after this session, somebody will desire the inner circle of fellowship with God in the name of Jesus Christ. Humility, reverence, and brokenness. That is what you see in Abraham. Even when you see Lot, we have studied this, Lot and Abraham. Even when there is a strife, look at the way Abraham handled it. Who was supposed to take the share first? And you see, that is humility. They are never after vainglory. They want to be at peace. They are humble. Very humble. One of the things that kills Saul, that makes it to lose that intimacy, was pride. This is what you should want. If anybody is saying, don't allow anointing to deceive you. Every genuine seeker, anyone who is having a good walk with God, must be humble. Must be take time to study those scriptures in the front. I believe we have written it. There's sacrifice. Sacrifice. This one is evidently sin. And the sacrifice is in various ways. The sacrifice, do you know, only living is a sacrifice. Hope you know. Only living is a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12. It's a sacrifice. See, the flesh desire those pleasures of sin. But because of a sacrifice, you say, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Your body, you sacrifice it unto the Lord. Praise is a sacrifice. Eh? Your worship. And another one is that they sacrifice their time. They sacrifice their resources. Anyone who is having, they are too generous to effort. Their last card, they carry it and give it to God without minding what they are going to eat. Because they believe in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye, it is their watchword. Everything about the kingdom, they believe every other thing. They pursue God first. They are not Gentiles. It is Gentiles that believe in houses. They are worshiping God, but their interest is the cars, the jets, the schools, mundane things, material things. That is the way of a Gentile. It is those things that are supposed to come secondary. It is their priority, but not a seeker of God. Not somebody who is having strong fellowship with God. Not somebody who is having genuine fellowship. Those that are having genuine fellowship, inner circle, it is God first, their own secondary. Sacrifice all. And finally, one of their characteristics is thankfulness and what? Gratitude. You never see them complain. You never see them murmur. They are thankful. Every time, thank you, Lord. Every time, thank you, Lord. Other things are working on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whenever you see, they never murmur. They never murmur. I believe you have seen these characteristics and you are examining your life. If all these things are not seen, I look at my life when I was taking this study, I knew that I was still in the third circle. And I began. This thing was actually dropped in my heart. I think it was after I have studied it, I have seen the effect. I said, oh, let me come and share. Price of intimacy. And since I have studied it and have applied, I have seen the effect. And when I had the opportunity, I said, oh, I need to share this. Developing intimacy, strong fellowship with God. The blessings attached, these blessings, they are automatic. You don't pray for them. They are what? Automatic when you are in deep fellowship with the Father. They are automatic. Is it peace and rest? They are automatic. Wisdom and guidance, they are automatic. They will come naturally. But the fellowship is so important. That deep intimacy. Bride of course, please write it down. But we are concluding it. I believe the point has been made. As you may do everything to endeavor you come into the inner circle. The inner circle, it is the inner circle you know a lot of God. You know a whole lot of things about God. You carry His glory. It is being in that inner circle that you fulfill the purpose of your God. And the purpose of God upon your life. As you make effort to do everything, to leave the outer circle, to ensure you find yourself in the inner circle of fellowship with the Lord, the Lord will give you grace and you fulfill the purpose of your calling in the name of Jesus Christ. Bow down your head and begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to talk to the Lord for this teaching to enable you to leave that altar. Like I said, where you are now to God is your choice. You can choose to be in the inner circle. In the inner circle, there are so many benefits. Is it provision, financial, eternal life, provision, fruitfulness, all that you can ever think of, you find it in being in that inner circle. Being in the outer circle, you just be eating crumbs. But coming into that inner circle of strong fellowship, God yearns for it. God desires it. That is where He wants you to be. That is where He wants you to be.
We will
continue to do that. The Lord will bless you in Jesus.